You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
For those that tuned into the show yesterday, you would have remembered we spoke to the Business for South Africa Steering Committee Chair around just the commitments made by South African businesses to collaborate more with government and build private-public partnerships more and more. We've also seen in recent times an increased attention being paid, or at least increased focus being placed on acquisitions. People have been buying up certain businesses, people have been selling off certain businesses. And I thought we'd take a look at that space, look at what's been happening on the mergers and acquisitions side in terms of some of the deals that have gone through, and if we can find a pattern. I'm joined on the line by Andrew Bauman, director at Deal Leaders International, to take a look at this. He keeps a close eye on all of the deals that are taking place in South Africa and around the world. Good evening, Andrew. Lovely to speak to you again. It seems as though now's the right time, if you have capital, to be looking for things to buy.
Hi, Jamia. Thanks again for having me. Yeah, absolutely. I think there's definitely an appetite for acquisitions. Post-GNU, you know, from an international perspective, looking at South Africa, you know, there's been a definite uptick as well. So, yeah, there's a lot of hunters out there looking for, you know, good value acquisitions. And no longer discounted valuations, which is also good to see. But I guess the art is in finding the right buyer, and more importantly, finding the right target and getting the deal across the line.
And for some companies, Andrew, it's freeing up some of your non-core assets, looking at your business and saying, you know what, we don't actually think we're going to be able to continue making money off of this particular asset, so rather sell it off and buy something else we're interested in, because we're also seeing some of that. We're seeing some non-core disposals, some freeing up of cash. It doesn't really matter where you look. I mean, I'm thinking about South African companies in particular, but if you look at someone like Warren Buffett, who's offloading massive amounts of Apple shares and is sitting on probably the biggest cash pile in history, you're clearly seeing that nobody's kind of willing to sit there and let this pass them by.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and it's quite interesting how it always works in cycles. So, you know, whatever the industry is and that period of its cycle, you'll see there's periods of consolidation or focusing on core assets, which, you know, you're so right in saying there's a definite trend, you know, going in from that perspective. And then the concentration risk gets a little bit higher, and then there's a diversification into you know, different exposures. But yeah, there definitely seems to be a focus to get more niche, you know, and I guess it comes down to from a company group or investment perspective, where are your best returns? So in some of those non-core assets, if they're not giving you the same returns as you're getting in other parts of your business, it would make sense to, you know, to potentially offload that. And we have seen a couple of examples like that recently.
Andrew, you mentioned cycles, and I wanted to see if we could look at some of the deals. I mean, we don't have to get into some of the specifics of the deals, because obviously a lot of them might still be up in the air. But where it comes down to cycles from a company perspective, I also noted, just based on two or three deals, that it's also now down to cycles in terms of industries people want to be exposed to. So I'm looking at deals like the Vodacom Maziv deal that didn't go through, that was blocked by the Competition Commission, the Old Mutual AECI asphalt deal that was announced today, the Gaia Bakwena investment deal as well. The common thread I kind of picked up there is all three were infrastructure plays, and we've seen a very concerted effort from the public-private partnerships to be developing infrastructure, going into those sorts of areas. Is that kind of where things are from a South African point of view, at least? A lot of the focus is looking towards things that are going to grow the economy.
Yeah, look, it's a great perspective that you've identified there, Jimmy. I think there's a definite push into, you know, those three examples you mentioned, into growing and building, you know, infrastructure, because clearly at a country level, it's really, really required. So that's a definite target. I think, yeah, the example of Vodacom and Maziv, I think there's, outside of the Competition Commission challenges, there's a real need for significant investment in our telco infrastructure to get it up to speed. And I think there's other examples, you know, potentially with the BHP and Anglo, you know, mining services is also, you know, a big part of it. Again, I guess because of the commodity cycles as well as what it does for investment in the economy. But it's good to see the public-private partnership playing out, you know, with some proper deployment of capital and, you know, this growing demand to get behind, you know, what's required to hopefully restore our road infrastructure and definitely our rail and port infrastructure. So I'm really hoping to see that this is the beginning of a of an upcycle for the foreseeable future.
Andrew, something else I noticed and picked up on around some of these deals is companies are kind of looking more at, I'd rather buy, and to your point on the BHP Anglo deal, is rather than going out and investing in greenfield projects, starting a project from scratch, building everything up, I'd rather just buy something that's running, it's got existing cash flows, it's got financial statements, I know the stability of the business, and if I have to tweak a couple of things and make improvements, that's seemingly a better option than starting from scratch.
Yeah, look, definitely. You know, I think one, you know, whatever piece of strategy and growth work one does, there's obviously organic growth and acquisitions, and you know, a very, very prominent part of that strategy. You know, I think what often muddies the water is, like we saw with the Vodacom deal being blocked by the Competition Commission, and obviously the valuation. You know, so if you look at the BHP example, but yeah, you know, I think that's, you know, it's not only the acquisition of the target, it's also that diversification and growth runway that it unlocks. And yeah, I think gone are the days where, you know, there were almost hollow threats by acquirers to say, well, if I'm not going to buy this business, we'll go and do it ourselves. I just think it's, you know, the landscape's become a lot more difficult. And yeah, to your point, rather buy into momentum, buy into cash flows, and buy into, you know, basically, you know, an established business infrastructure network and channel to market. It just makes a lot more sense. And ironically, we'll probably end up, you know, costing the acquirer less than if they had to try and do it themselves.
Andrew, what's to be said about the different kinds of sectors? We're seeing an emergence of things like artificial intelligence, and that's obviously driving just how investors are seeing things. I'm looking in particular at the announcement that we got probably a couple of minutes before you and I went on air with this conversation, that Gaia Fund Managers are taking a stake in Bakwena Platinum Corridor Concession, the toll operator that operates the tolls between the N4 and the N1. Now, interestingly enough, when I looked at that, I mean, you don't typically see a fund manager going after a toll operator as an investment case, but you are seeing that regardless of the acquisitions, people are diversifying their portfolios in some cases where there might have been a concentration risk, things like the property space, you're concentrated in one kind of area, and now you're either diversifying across portfolio class or asset classes, or you're diversifying across regions. You're no longer looking in one country, you're looking in other countries.
Absolutely. Yeah, look, and it's quite an interesting, you know, example there, because you are right. It's not a, you know, I did see that, you know, that note come through, and it's not your typical, you know, M&A type transaction, particularly from a fund manager. And I think the key there is, you know, obviously I haven't seen a lot of detail around it, but, you know, part of Gaia's strategy is really around infrastructure, you know, so whether it's an infrastructure platform or, you know, a current and new, whatever it is. But it is interesting that they've gone out of, to your, you know, description, probably more traditional investment sectors, and now going in, you know, in this direction. So it's a very interesting place, see how it'll play out. But again, you know, one has to then look at sentiment. You know, hopefully it's yet another positive sentiment and investment in this new trajectory that hopefully will help us get our infrastructure back to the standard it needs to be at.
Andrew, do you think some of the investment plays or the decisions being made are being made from having learned from the past? And I think, again, I'll use the fund managers as an example, because when we look back to kind of what happened in the pandemic and all fund managers and asset managers struggling for returns, recently the likes of the PIC saying the offshore investments are struggling from things like grey listing impacts. Do you think that fund managers now might, going forward, be making these sorts of decisions more and more to say traditional things that we knew and loved might not always be the way to go, and perhaps we might be looking at a new way of investing going forward?
I would think so. You know, one always hopes that all of us learn, you know, learn from past experiences. And I think what the last few years have taught us is nothing is a given. And, you know, what you know, what may have been stable investments, industry sectors, whatever that may be, have turned out to not necessarily be that again, you know. And so, yeah, I think there needs to be a degree of innovation, and it'll be interesting to see what other examples, you know, of this type of investment takes place. But I think, like any industry, there's got to be evolution, there's got to be innovation. And I guess it also comes down to risk appetite. But, you know, if you look at how Gaia have done it, you know, one would think infrastructure on existing tolls, it's quite a solid investment. There's, you know, there's cash flows and whatever there's behind it. Maybe not a bad thing. But, you know, I think you've seen those returns on, you know, those fund managers that were overexposed to rates and, you know, all of those elements from a property perspective, and then the pain through COVID and thereafter, you know, probably did, you know, take a, you know, a bit of a beating and realized, well, let's start looking at where other people are deploying capital or where there's a really good growth runway. So it'll be interesting to play out how it plays out, you know, in the foreseeable future.
We have much to learn. The world is constantly changing, but the one thing we can be assured of is that there will always be opportunities if you can find them. We'll leave it at that, Andrew. Thanks so much for the time and for the insights. Andrew Ballman, Director at Deal Leaders International, on some of the mergers and acquisitions deals that have been taking place, as well as some potential trends we might have identified.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.